Probability is the chance an event will occur.
It's Morten Gans-Pedersen, but you've got to go back to the contribution of David Bentley.
The goal is, it's an own goal from Popovic, but it's set up by a piece of genius from Dimitar Berbatov.
And Martin Atkinson, I think, has got the red card out.
Yakubu takes it and scores!
When we speak about probability or chance, we are referring to the odds of an event occurring.
All right, welcome along to Team 33's Fantasy Premier League slot. This season I actually have got the name right, which is a start in comparison to last season. Owen Sheen and Tommy Rooney are back as well after a long summer break, or not that long because the Euros were going on as well, and we're in the middle of Olympics mode as well. And we've a newbie in Sinead Farrell. Game week one is just coming up. I've picked my team, I think all the lads have as well. Lots to talk about as well. First off, how are you looking in terms of game week one?
Very broad question, Raf.
Very broad. I would have expected that to be like the last question. Game week one, it's certainly something that you would never actually kind of gear towards when you're setting up your team.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that you would perhaps look at after you're settled. It's kind of like a 5-6 week period that you're looking at. You're looking at, personally anyway, the first 5 weeks, those fixtures are the ones you look at when you're looking at fixtures in terms of form and what they can bring into that. It doesn't tend to last more than 5 weeks anyway, unless you're like a Jamie Vardy and scoring in 9 games in a row. So, game week one hasn't really come into the thinking at all. Like, we're probably going to get to the whole question about two certain big strikers up front.
Yeah, actually, that was a tweet that was sent into us, so we can probably jump straight into that already. So we'll be taking questions from listeners across the season, and this one comes from @DeanBL4.
All right, Dean.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean.
Hello, Dean. Is going with Ibra and Aguero, Ibra obviously being Ibrahimovic, up front worth the risk?
Yes, 2 out of 3.
No, it's not.
What I've got, done.
Well, then that's crazy, Sinead.
I'm already on his page.
You've already spent a quarter of your budget.
That's what I wanted to talk about, is budgets.
Yes, budgets.
It's like real life. I find that once I put Aguero in my team,
why do you have Ibra in there too? He's 11.5.
Oh, I know.
But just that's a quarter of your budget gone, severed.
Yeah.
You've got 13 more players to fill.
I balanced it out with a newbie, Lorient.
Lorente is a decent shout.
When I heard about him, at first I was like, yeah, I will put him in, but it was more for so I could afford to put the others in.
That's where I think you have an issue.
Yeah.
You're compromising. It's not that you're affording or you're making room, you're compromising. You're letting down other aspects of your team. And of course, Ibrahimovic could walk in there, could hit a hat trick, could score against all the smaller teams, and Aguero could do it too. But I don't think the money balances out the I don't think it balances it out. Honestly.
Well, we were supposed to be joined by one Luke Benson this afternoon until he decided he was bigger than us.
Yeah.
He's got a fancy football injury. Pre-season injury.
Has he?
Yeah, he was talking trash on Twitter.
Yes, I saw
limping basically with this ankle problem he's got.
And he said that he's going with the same as Sinead. He's going with Aguero and Ibrahimovic. And I can see why people do that, because it's the position where you're going to get most of your points year after year. Chances are Aguero is going to be the top scorer in the league. Chances are then he's going to be the top fantasy Premier League scorer in the league, unless someone like Riyad Mahrez comes up or someone like him and just throws in a load of assists with a load of goals at the same time as they're going for the Golden Boot. And the question is, why wouldn't you do that? And the answer is that the midfield options, which we'll get to soon, are simply too good this year to turn your back on. Now, the reason why I kind of pointed to this discussion when you asked me what are you thinking about for game week one is because ultimately it is a decision between Aguero and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, because your midfield will suck if you go for the two of them, or else you're going to have to go for a third striker who you don't really want. And on the first day of the season, Man City hosts Sunderland at the Etihad. Can you possibly go into that without having Aguero as captain?
No.
Let alone having him in your team? The answer is no. Therefore, Aguero wins. Can you go into the first week having not having Zlatan Ibrahimovic away to Bournemouth? Maybe not. But the thing is, you've got Aguero in your team and you've got the armband on him, so who cares?
You can absolutely. Because I think Zlatan will do damage in the Premier League. I think it'll especially do damage against the smaller teams. I think it was an issue that United had last year. 49 goals, we all know about it. They didn't deliver. I think he's going to be the man to do that. But, saw it in the Community Shield, this is still a United team who had it drilled into them for 2 years from Louis van Gaal to play a certain way of football. You're not going to slip out of that straight away. Like, and Mourinho isn't going to bring the most expansive style too. Especially, it's hard to know how Rooney and Ibra are going to work too in that 10-9 pivot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to suit United best. an Eber Rashford or a Rooney Rashford seems much more appealing in terms of having a little bit of speed behind the lines. So it might take a little bit for United's attack to kick into gear. Once they do kick into gear, you're going to have four or five awesome options.
My big fear of not owning Ibrahimovic is that he's going to have a pretty average season and all around the rest of the park, he's not going to track back, he's not going to do much else. But in this cold game that we've got, which is fantasy football, he's going to completely excel because he's just going to score loads of goals. Rooney will do more work than him. Anthony Martial is going to do 10 times more running than him down the wings. Ibrahimovic will do nothing, but at the end of the day, we're just going to see him come up with the rewards. He's going to score a couple of hat-tricks this season. And I think getting him into your team eventually is definitely something we're going to have to look to do.
Well, can we take Sinead's approach then? And it's not the smart way to do it.
Not from the start, in my opinion.
But you can... There's no striker more expensive than Ibra apart from Aguero. So you can immediately downgrade to whoever you want without, you know, affecting your team too much.
Well, actually, when you look at the price, it's 24.5 if you're putting both of them in together, which I went for Vardy instead because at least he's a safe bet. I have no new signings in my team. I wanted to put in
Shane Long because his form towards the end of last season. And I don't think you can discount. Like, you have to, like, there has to be correlation, obviously, how they're doing in the league and how you set up your fantasy team. But then obviously, like, if you want him in and you want, I wanted Ibra and I wanted Aguero. I wanted Aguero more than anybody.
Well, Aguero's the man to get.
Yeah.
The man to have.
So,
but the correlation you're talking about, are you factoring in preseason form? Are you factoring in how we got on at the Euros? Or are you factoring in the fact that Southampton have sold a couple of players and Claude Puel is going to set up with a 4-1-4, like a four diamond midfield, potentially Long up front on his own, Charlie Austin apparently. Like, it looks like Southampton will set up to suit Shane Long this year.
Yeah, well, I was picking solely on how he did with Southampton last year, not so much the Euros.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
Shane Long
is a really good shout. I think he's a fantastic option. The only reason why I currently don't have him in my team, but I could yet have him in my team by 11:45 tomorrow morning, is because of Southampton's midfield. And you've got two absolutely outstanding options in there at the moment. First of all, you've got Dusan Tadic at 7.5 million, who's always been a great option. I thought his price would go up a little bit further this year because Mane is gone. That hasn't happened. At 7.5, he's a banker to get over 150 points this season. He's on spot kicks. He's going to take more set pieces now. Mane used to hop on a few corners and stuff. You're about to butt in there.
7.5. How much is Dimitri Payet?
I think he could be nine.
There is nothing between what they did last year in terms of fantasy points.
You're bang on, but also don't pick Dimitri Payet for game week one. He's not fully fit.
Yeah.
He might not play. The other midfielder that I'm really excited about when it comes to Zlatan, and I know we've really deviated from this Aguero and Zlatan conversation, but
I think we kind of came to a conclusion there anyway, I think, in that sense. Aguero, definitely, and then maybe if you're a risk taker.
Yeah. The other midfielder that Southampton and that we should all be looking out for this year is Nathan Redmond, because Tommy was mentioning there that Southampton will set up in a way to benefit Shane Long. And that's true, but it won't benefit Shane Long from a fantasy point of view. I reckon Shane Long is going to be the man who's doing all the work. He's going to get a lot more assists than he usually does, but they're going to play two up front. And I've got a feeling it's going to be Shane Long and Nathan Redmond who's going to set up beside him. That's the way it's been for the last two games in preseason. They've set up with a diamond. Dusan Tadic has been at the top of the diamond with Redmond running off Shane Long. If Charlie Austin comes into that team, I think it's Shane Long who gets dropped and not Nathan Redmond. I think he's got too much pace. His finishing might not be that good. But I think come this weekend, Southampton are at home to Watford. If Nathan Redmond starts and scores in that game, we've suddenly got our first huge bandwagon of the summer. I've currently got Dusan Tadic in my team.
I've got Tadic too.
Tomorrow morning, I could well have Redmond to free up that extra 1.5 million.
Yeah, you did want to talk about the Southampton attack. We've kind of touched on that. Anthony Martial as well. We're going to have a buzzer for you for every time you mention him, I think.
Guess what?
That was your own suggestion.
Guess what?
That was your own suggestion
Guess
as
what?
Well.
Guess what? He's in my team.
He's a midfielder as well.
I've changed my team about six times already in the last week. I'm probably going to change it three or four more times before tomorrow. Martial, 9.5 is a lot of money, but he is a midfielder.
Yeah.
You are going to get extra points for clean sheets, which United are going to get. You are going to get extra points when you get a goal. You're going to get extra points, you know, in general, in terms of bonus points.
I actually worked it out. He would have got one less point than Alexis Sanchez last year with midfielder points.
Wow. And Alexis Sanchez is 11.
Yeah, that's huge. Martial is the best addition to the Man United midfielder. He's a better option than Pogba, who, by the way, is suspended for this weekend.
He's only 8.5, Paul Pogba.
He's only 8.5, but he's going to sit deep. He'll get a few points off set pieces. trying to think of a comparison.
Mkhitaryan is nine.
Mkhitaryan will do more though from open play, you'd imagine, from a fantasy point of view. Pogba could well be their player this season without even breaking 160 points in fantasy. He will get points, but for 8.5 in a Man United team, he could do a whole lot better.
I'm going to hold my fire on Pogba and Mkhitaryan for quite a while.
My problem with Martial is he's too expensive. He's 9.5.
It is a lot of money.
He's 0.5 cheaper than Eden Hazard. He's going to have a massive season.
You'd imagine so. I've managed to squeeze Hazard into my midfield too.
Would you feel free calling us out your midfield and attack right now?
Well, you're not going to do it, are you?
Well, no, I'm not going to copy it.
No, but you're not going to tell us yours. Are you going to tell us yours?
Well, I can tell you mine now, but well, it's going to change.
I'm going to tell you my midfield because it's going to change too. My midfield is Martial at the minute. I've got Hazard. I've got Tadic. And my wildcard, Victor Fischer.
Yeah, Fischer's a good shout. Good shout.
Fischer's been on my radar since Football Manager 2012, so...
It's Middlesbrough, Victor Fischer, for anybody who wants to know. It's going to pop up with a lot of assists this year.
5.5, Stoke at home in the first day. I think, you know, you literally can't predict what's going to happen outside the... You know, it's impossible to know what's going to happen. I think Middlesbrough are going to have a decent season.
So do I, but with Fischer, and I think he's a great shot at 5.5 because that category is awful this year.
It's kind of bad, isn't
it? Yeah.
Like, that was Dele Alli was in your 5.5 last year.
Exactly.
You know?
So there will be somebody who emerges, but right now it looks terrible.
There were prizes from last season. So Mahrez, Vardy, Alli, Payet are a few players that kind of emerged. For this season, who would you, like, would you be kind of going for a Mahrez? Would you be going for a Payet? I know we've kind of touched on him already.
Just want to hear what Sinead
is saying. I had Payet in mind. But I hastily threw this together last night. Okay. Like, I had homework to do because Raph told me we were doing this today.
And that right?
I was working late last night and I literally went home.
You were working early this morning too, weren't you?
I'm working early this morning, yeah.
Wow.
And threw it together. So my midfield is Payet, Danny Drinkwater.
He comes in at a good price.
What is he, six?
He's...
5.5, I think.
Okay. Aaron Ramsey, I just kind of threw. I think that was budget.
Probably won't be starting that first game either, just because he had an extended break after the Euros.
Yeah, and Kante.
Well, Kante's not going to do much. He's one of the most selected midfielders
it's
in the
strange.
Game right now.
Cause it's strange, isn't it?
It's a big name. He'll probably get decent returns.
He won't really, though.
But, I mean, decent for his price range and in terms of the other players in Chelsea who are going to hog all the points. But, like, that's just me totally justifying why people would pick him. I just think it's a big name and he's cheap and he doesn't really give you any coverage of it. Like, say if Chelsea win a game 7-0, I just don't think Kante will be involved in that. I think, like, you could do a lot better in that price range, but it's not by any stretch of the imagination a disaster of a move. The original point you were trying to make, was it about the big players last year?
Yeah.
Who's going to come out of the woodwork?
Yeah, like, Kante isn't one of them, like.
No, certainly not,
It's Mahrez, Vardy, Payet and Alli. They're the four cheap players last year who just everybody had in their team and then everybody could buy whoever the hell they wanted because they were so cheap and doing so well. I think personally I've got Vardy in my team right now. To be all of Vardy in our team? Oh no, you've got the two big hitters.
I go Vardy. You go Vardy.
If you don't have the two big hitters, I think you're probably going to look for an Aguero-Vardy combination, and as soon as you have Vardy in your team, there's no need for Mahrez. He's too expensive. Like, it was grand doubling up in Leicester last year because they were so cheap.
But you're not going to do it now.
No.
Who's your number three striker?
That's gone between two people at the moment. It's gone between Andre Gray and Andy Carroll.
He's my man. Watched him a lot in the championship last year. He's got 9 goals in pre-season.
Yeah.
The man's on fire. He's going to be Burnley's main man. And we saw it with the promoter teams last year, and especially with Burnley. They were here 2 years ago.
It's like you're quoting my article on the News Talk website.
God, I haven't even read it yet. Has it even been filed?
I completely agree with you.
It'll be, by the time anyone listens to this, it'll be on newstalk.com, so give it a read.
6.5. He's going to be our Gallo. He's going to be our... You know, Callum Wilson can be a new Callum Wilson this year because, you know, 7 goals before September. He was my man from the start last year. Got that hat trick, got that cruciate injury. He was gone.
Yeah.
So, Andre Gray can be that kind of guy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this time 12 months ago, we would have all been very cagey about a Troy Deeney or Callum Wilson because, let's not forget, Odion Ighalo was not on our radar 12 months ago. It took a couple of weeks. You suddenly have these promoted players and they look really good. The only problem is it seems that Andre Gray is our only option in this area because we had Jordan Rhodes who got promoted with Middlesbrough and then they went out and bought Alvaro Negredo.
Well, Negredo's that option too. Negredo's 5.5.
6.5.
6.5,
well.
Sorry, apologies. Yeah.
He's in that Shane Long category as well. I'd have Negredo and Shane Long on one level, but then a level above that I'd have Andy Carroll and Andre Gray as a two go-to 6.5s for me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, Negredo has played in the Premier League before, so it's not...
Scored like... Five goals, 9 assists, or the other way around.
Yeah, he did okay.
He was number 3 at City that year, number 2. Like, he was never...
Yeah, I think he started off as number 1 and then slowly tailed off and then actually moved to another country. Eriksen or Alli as well. Like, Tottenham were an interesting option last season. This season, who are you kind of looking at from their team that you would kind of go for? And they have good fixtures at the start of the season.
Yeah, I think Spurs, like after Sergio Aguero on your team, I think a Spurs midfielder is like the next most important thing from game week one onwards, just because their fixtures are fantastic. After Everton away at the start isn't great. They've got Palace and Liverpool back-to-back fixtures at home before Stoke and Sunderland. It gets better after that again, but they're the only fixtures I have in front of me right now.
The man, and you're going to say it right now because it's probably in your article, Eric Lamela is the man to go to. 7 million.
Not sure about that.
No?
I just think, like, it's a fantastic saving. Like, in case you don't know, Ericsson is 8.5, Ali is 8.5, and Lamela is 7.0. So you get a 1.5 saving if you go for Lamela. I just think he doesn't offer enough from a goal-scoring threat. I still don't think he offers enough from an assist point of view. I think Ericsson will do better than him in his assists. I think Ali will score more than him. I fear for Dele Alli this year, though. Like last year, Ali was an absolutely sensational player, and on the same reason that I was talking about Mahrez and Vardy, the only reason he was a sensational fantasy football player is you could buy him for a pittance. He was so cheap and he was returning serious value.
8.5 was crazy.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Fantasy Premier League?
Well, nobody knew who he was. He was playing.
What are you doing
now?
He
just signed from MK Dons.
What are you doing now, though? 8.5. That's
crazy.
No,
I think he's worth that. Ericsson outscored him last year, but he only outscored him by like 5-10 points. I just think with Ericsson and set pieces and stuff, he's got more of a guarantee to just rack up a few more points. Like that new guy that Spurs has signed up front, what's his name?
Janssen.
Like, he could easily come into the team, play
he's
as
8 million.
Yeah, play as like their number 9 with Kane hanging off him. Like, last year at times, Dele Alli was their furthermost striker and Kane would hang back and kind of do a lot of creating. So Dele Alli could be really harmed.
If Pochettino decides to copy the England manager, we might see Kane on all set pieces. Yeah. No, that won't be a good thing.
That'd be great for fantasy managers, though.
It will, but...
Not great for Spurs.
No, it wouldn't, because he's shy at them.
Ah, who knows? Alderweireld might pop up with a header or two.
Yeah, but given the quality of what I saw during the Euros...
So you're saying you're worried for Dele Alli?
No, yes, I am.
Yeah, but would you not, like... Because people are worried that the Leicester thing is not sustainable and they're expecting them to go down to 10th. But I'm feeling in the room is a lot of support to put Vardy in your team.
Because Vardy is still on fire.
So you think he's still going to...
Oh, Vardy's still going to get you goals. He was so sharp against United.
I think a lot of his goals depends on the quality of the passes that go through to the
drink water passes over the top last year.
The players who were putting those passes through are still there, because Kante is the only one they've lost, and that's not really his role.
He was just an engine.
Do you know who could be an option as the weeks go on? Demiry Gray. If he settles down into that team, because he joined from Birmingham last year, very highly rated teenager from Birmingham. If he gets into that team and
he's not,
and nails in a spot, you don't know. You don't know how it's going to progress. He's I think he's 6 million at the minute.
Right.
You know, Ahmed Musa is a man who looks like he could be dangerous, but he's 7.5. You don't know where he's going to play.
I thought he's 8.5, is he?
No, he's 7.5.
7.5, right.
I just think Vardy is a banker. I go for Vardy over Mahrez, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I'd agree. And I think Sinead's totally right in what she says. That has lessened, but there's something about Vardy and just that goal poacher's instinct. It's the same as Ibrahimovic, that like United could totally bomb again this year. Ibrahimovic himself could be terrible, but he's still going to get you fantasy points. You're much more secure doing that with a striker than you are with a midfielder. Like, midfielders playing crap don't tend to get you any
Hazard
fantasy
last
points.
Year.
Hazard last year is a prime example of that.
Sanchez, most of the year.
Yeah.
You see his little streaky runs.
Yeah, like, in terms of Spurs, it's just a pure price thing. The reason why I've gone off Dele Alli, the reason I've gone off Riyad Mahrez, like, Spurs could go and win the league this year. Leicester could go and win the league this year, but it still won't justify any reason to have a huge amount of belief in Dele Alli or Riyad Mahrez, because they personally need to do better than they did last year to justify that price tag.
Liverpool could win the league. I'm only messing. Sorry, guys. I'm only messing. But one thing that I want to talk about Liverpool is that they've got quite a few very appealing options in midfield, but I'm steering clear of them for the first couple of fixtures. They've got a horrible run, 4 away games. But my God, Roberto Firmino, Sadio Mane. If Klopp goes to that 4-3-3 and them two boys are playing as false strikers, you know, Firmino playing in the middle, they there's going to be goals there.
Yeah, I would actually suggest if anybody's got Firmino on their team, you don't have Aguero, captain him this weekend against Arsenal. They've got nobody at centre-back right now.
That's going to be a 4-3 game, isn't it?
Yeah, it
live
probably
on News Talk.
It is, actually.
Yeah.
The thing I was thinking about Liverpool, well, not thinking, or the thing I know about Liverpool is that their fixtures are terrible. Like Arsenal, Spurs, Leicester, Chelsea, all in there. For their first 5 fixtures, the trip in between that is like a trip to Burnley, which is quite good. Like, so he could perhaps go to Firmino for the first 2 weeks, attack a pretty weak Arsenal, and then go on to Burnley. But I just think Firmino is their best option in midfield. I think he'd play up at number nine. I don't know, will Wijnaldum even get a place in the starting 11 regularly? Philippe Coutinho seems to have totally dipped off the fantasy radar, despite the fact that I think he's Liverpool's best player. And Sadio Mane, who the hell knows about Mane? I've got personal beef with that guy after he screwed me over so many times last season. He'll probably pop up with a hat-trick or two before the season is out, but you just don't know when it's going to happen. So it's Firmino is the man, but when you get him in, I don't know. I think getting a Spurs midfielder in, and they're all similarly priced, is much more of a priority now than getting in a Liverpool midfielder.
Yeah, I suppose, finally, before we let you guys go, premium and cheap options in each position. So who are the kind of options you're looking at there?
You go for three players, one premium in each position.
Okay.
You've got an unlimited budget in each position. Who do you go for?
If you had an unlimited
budget. Yeah, you just get one player in each position. Well, no, screw goalkeepers.
Okay, so like a number one defender, a number one midfielder.
Yeah.
Okay. Defender, we're starting with defender?
Go with.
If he was fit, probably just, I'd go Coleman, like a pick.
Not a bad shout.
No.
I would kind of agree with that. I would have agreed with that a couple of years ago with Gon Baines. Right now, it's John Stones.
Really?
Stones is only 5 million.
Well, I shouldn't have said before I introduced this, money is no object. Because, of course, money is an object. When
money
you
is an object.
Pick any player. So, like, I'm sorry to deviate from the law you set down here. The law that I set down here.
If money's no object, I'm going for Alderweireld. But
of course,
I think that the 5.5 and the 5 million options are superb at the minute in fantasy football.
John
Stones
is the best fantasy defender on offer, ladies and gentlemen.
You've got Stones, you've got Valencia, you've got Shaw, you've got Kyle Walker, who had a superb tournament with England.
Wouldn't go for Kyle Walker.
I've got Kyle Walker on my team.
Nah,
Champions
League comes around and Kieran Trippier is in there.
Good point.
Tottenham often swap their fullbacks as well, depending on
I'm going to keep him
well.
In there until the start of September. Sure, the Spurs aren't in Champions League for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, like earlier on in that piece I wrote, I would have tipped Hugo Lloris as the go-to Spurs defensive mainstay because Alderweireld is just too expensive at 6.5. You can get Lloris for 5.5 or 5.0 and he's going to play every game.
Okay, one midfielder. Oh, you're defender.
I would have gone for Baines like years ago. He would have always been my option.
He's going to be back this year, I'm telling you.
Everton fullbacks. Coleman and Baines are both going to be back this year under Ronald Koeman. Right, midfielder.
Well, Hazard.
Hazard's me too.
Payet.
Sanchez, probably.
And then we're all going Aguero up top.
Yeah.
Aguero's the number one man. He's 13 million. But that's, okay.
That's
now,
universe.
You owe me your midfield. Who's your midfield?
Right now, I would have Hazard, obviously. I'd have Tadic.
Yeah, same.
I think I actually have Dele Alli in there at the moment, but I haven't really touched my team in 2 days. So I think I'd be kind of leaning more towards Christian Eriksen. Lamella is well up there as well in terms of what I've been thinking. In terms of the very cheap stuff, I just haven't a clue. And in fact, Nathan Redmond has suddenly started coming right into my thinking now instead of Dusan Tadic, so I can veer away from that horrific 5.5 category in midfield.
A little wild card, Jonathan Lecco, West Brom winger, 4.5. He's going to get a couple of chances this year. He's my little Resox from last year. I had Resox for starting last year, put Mesut Ozil in the pocket. Obviously didn't come into it again after that, but Lecco's a man who could emerge into Tony Pulis.
I saw him at the end of last season, was good.
Oh, he's a decent little player. 4.5.
Josh King is still a midfielder this year, folks.
Yeah.
For anybody who's a long-term listener of this podcast, by long-term I mean 4 months.
Birmingham have Callum Wilson back though, so he's not going to play
Bournemouth
as a striker.
Are the team.
Bournemouth, god damn it.
Anyway, I think that's pretty much it for this week's fantasy segment. We'll be back next week. Luke Benson, I think, is planning to come in, so that's News Talk's videographer.
Just to give you up-to-speed information on his team, which I've hacked via a conversation with Luke.
Yeah,
I was trying to listen into it.
Yeah, he's gone Redmond, he's gone Aguero, no Zlatan, and
he's Aguero. He definitely has Aguero.
Sorry, he's gone Aguero, not Zlatan, my bad. And up front, he is going for a player that I've just forgotten who costs 6.0 million. I can't remember who it is.
He'll fill us in next week, I think. Probably.
The suspense.
Anyway, that is it for this week's Fantasy Slot. Brian Dean, in 1992, the first game week, 24 years ago, he probably would have been topping the standings at this stage. We were obviously speaking to him earlier in the show, and we're hoping to have a big name on next week. not a former player as such, although he did play in the English Ooh. Football League, but a former high-profile manager who no longer manages, but we're trying to nail it down. It's not definite yet.
And
we'll be back next week. Take it away, Johan.